Acts chapter 20. Also, turn your phones on and let the world know. Now listen, I get on y'all. Sunday afternoon when I get home, I'll sit upstairs and turn the TV on, and I'll look at Facebook or whatever. And I know I see y'all during the week post, but I don't see y'all checking in. Checking in is the easiest way we can spread the word that you know we're at, you know, where we're at, and we can, you know, tell people that we're at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church and let them know that you're happy to be here. Amen. Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you. So check in. It's easy. If you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to check in, come and talk to me or Amy or whoever's checking in and check in. All right? Okay, Brother Kyle. Yes, sir. We'll do that. Amen. Now, this morning, we're going to focus on an easy but very disturbing issue. It's an easy issue, but it's kind of disturbing. And it's simple acts. Simple acts. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. It's easy, but it's disturbing. Yeah, it's easy. And it's disturbing. Now, you may be saying, well, why is this kind of odd? This act of this message on simple acts. Well, the day that we live in, the truth is that most people don't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything. Nobody wants to do anything. And I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. I really don't. And I know I heard this when I was young. But the young people today really don't want to do nothing. I mean, they don't even want to go outside. They don't want to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't have time. How many of y'all have heard that before? I don't have time to do anything. Or just don't want to be bothered by having to do anything. Now, I've heard people say many times over the last few years, listen, if the church would just start being the church like they used to be, then we wouldn't need as much assistance through governmental programs as we do now to help other people. Now, this in many ways could be very true because of the working mentality of the people of generations and past was definitely not what the working mentality of those growing up in this generation is. It's not. I can't tell you how many people, I mean, young people I've heard, I ain't going to work for the man. I'm not gonna work slaving myself in a foundry or a mill. Really? What you gonna do? I'm not working for the man. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. Listen, young people, look here. It doesn't matter who you are. Whoever you work for, guess who that is? The man. The man, listen, I'm the preacher. I'm the preacher of this church. But guess what? I work for the man, God. You're always going to be working for the man. The thought of what the church will look like to me in 20 years scares me to death because most of these younger generations do not tithe. The younger generation does not tithe. Look how, what is tithe? That means 10% of your income goes to God. It's not yours anyway. 100% of it's God. God gave it all to you, but all He wants you to do is tithe 10% to Him. 10%. And those of you who aren't good at math, like me, if you make $100, how much are you supposed to give to God? 10. If you make $200 in a week, how much are you supposed to give to God? 20. That's right. If you make 300, I'm in good math class, 300 in a week, how much are you supposed to give to God? If God blesses you and you make $1,000 a week, how much are you supposed to give to God? So that's where it gets slippery. $100. $100. Yeah. I mean, it's God's, right? The younger generation does not tithe. A message is coming. I asked Deborah to get me some figures and she hadn't done it yet, but a message is coming. I'm telling you. Huh? And they do not or will not serve the church in any capacity, this younger generation. Now, I want to remind you this morning of some very simple words from the Apostle Paul, that our, excuse me, from Luke, that our Lord, from and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And Luke records, "And now I commit to you, to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance." That's what we want, right? We want God to bless us and give us an inheritance, but we don't want to do nothing. "Give us an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs have provided for these needs and for those who were with me. In every way, I've shown you that by laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak and to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, as he said, 'It is more blessed to receive than to give.'" Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, "It is more blessed to receive than to give. It is better to heap up treasures for yourself at home than to help anybody else." Y'all's Bible doesn't say that, does it? Mine doesn't either. It says the opposite of what we do. It says this. It says, "Jesus, for he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. God, we always thank you for your word. Lord, your word's alive. And Lord, I pray that, being that your word is alive this morning, that it would wake us this morning. Help us, Lord, to hear a message from you that we need to hear. Lord, we need to be greater servants for you, and I'm in that realm as well. Help me, Lord, to receive this message and apply it to my life. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. I think everyone here would give a hearty amen if I stood in the pulpit without giving any background or anything, and I said, it is better to give than to receive. I bet amen. It's better to give than to receive. Everybody would say amen. I have a problem, church, because for the vast majority of my life, I have not done what our scripture begs us to do this morning. I've given more to myself than to others. I was just like most young people when I first got married. Amy and I were 22 when we first got married, and we had Emily shortly, 8 months after we got married, and we wanted everything. We lived in a 3-bedroom apartment because that was, you know, that we needed at least, we couldn't, you know, just do with a 1-bedroom or a 2-bedroom. We had to have a 3-bedroom apartment. We both had a car. One of them was paid for, one of them wasn't. So you have two people under 25, a child on the way, 3-bedroom apartment, you have two cars. You know what you also have when you have cars? You have insurance. Yeah, you have to pay insurance. This is a civics class. Y'all pay attention. You have insurance, and you have a light bill, and you have power. And listen, yeah, listen, you got to have what you know, cable, right? You got to have a TV, and if you got one in one room, you got to have one in the bedroom, right? Because you get tired watching TV in the living room, and you want to go fall asleep watching TV in the bedroom. You got to have at least two TVs, right? So you have all that, and then comes along, well, you know, you're wasting all that money on rent. You need to just go ahead and buy your house. So at 22, I had a wife, a child, a mortgage payment, two cars, insurance, cable TV. I had everything. We didn't have internet then. Thank the Lord Jesus. Thank you. We didn't have all that, but I mean, we had to do all that. Well, why do people do that? Because we think we have to have it. Now this is kind of unusual, I guess, but as you grow older, y'all pay attention. Something chemically happens in your body. As you're young, you think you've got to have this and this and this and this and this. Listen, my whole life, from the time I was 2 years old until the time I entered the ministry, I had at least one boat. Y'all know what the definition of a boat is? A hole in which you throw money in. My dad, we had a ski boat and we had a bass boat. And then we had a paddle boat because, you know, we wanted to paddle up and down and catch the bream. But if we wanted to go out and catch fish, we had to have the bass boat. But you didn't take the bass boat fishing because it wasn't fast enough, so you took the ski boat. Right? I had a boat my whole life until I entered the ministry. And I realized I can't just take this thing everywhere with me when I go. I just can't. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Kyle? I always thought that I had to have this and this and this and this and this. I had to have this. But as the older I get, I don't want more. I want less. I do. There was a point in time in my life where I used to love to hunt. I loved to hunt. And I spent a lot of times in the woods just scouting. It didn't matter where deer season was in or not. Deer season in upstate South Carolina started in October and ended in January, the first day in January. But, you know, after that, you've got to scout to find out where the deer are, where they're coming from, where they're going, where the food plots are, where they're bedding down, where they're doing this, where they're doing that, where they're scraping, where they're doing that. I mean, and I was doing all this. And listen, when I'd hunt, got to have more than one gun because you never know, right? I mean, I had to have my granddaddy had his .22 just in case I ever wanted to go squirrel hunting, Jason. Y'all know how many times I ever went squirrel hunting? None. But, you know, I had it if I wanted to. And I had a 12-gauge pump because just in case I wanted to go turkey hunting, and I did go turkey hunting twice. And I had a .308, and I had two .30-30s, and I had another. But you know why I had those? Because I had to have them. I had to have them, and I had all that, and yet I had to have a gun safe, right? And then I had to have all the bullets, and this, I mean, God, it adds up, does it not? We think we have to have all of this stuff. The older I get, the more I walk around my house, and I'm glad my hair's gone, Billy, because it drives me crazy. I don't want none of it. None of it. None of it. It really does. It drives me bananas. My sister and I, we were with my mom a couple weeks ago when we had to take her to the doctor. And y'all listen, y'all think y'all, I don't know what y'all's house looks like. I've been to some of y'all's houses, but I don't know what some of y'all, I know what my house looks like, but y'all don't know what my mama's house looks like. I walked around that house and I told Memory said, you know, we need to try and start thinking, preparing, because the day's coming. Mom's not going to live forever. I said, listen, we need to get one of them big dumpsters. Pull it up the back of the driveway and go buy five or six wheelbarrows from Lowe's. I said, that's all I need. I need a wheelbarrow. I don't have a wheelbarrow. I said, I'll take a wheelbarrow home with me. Only thing I want is a chopping block in the kitchen. I don't want nothing else, nothing. She said, well, don't you want nothing? I said, where am I going to put it? I want to get rid of everything. Simple. Simple. Just give me a tent and a pack of crackers. I'm good for at least a couple days. Bottle water. This whole idea, church, of accumulating binds us down and pushes us down, weights us down. Now, church, All this has to change somehow. We as the body of Christ should desire a change. We as a church should want to be a change. Now, how can we make a change in our lives that we become givers instead of receivers? Now, I believe, listen, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, and I'm not trying to condemn y'all, but I believe the vast majority of us, we're more receivers than we are givers. We give more to ourselves than we give to other people. How can we change that mentality? How can we be what God called us to be? Because Scripture says, Jesus said this morning that we're more blessed, and that's what I want to be. I want to be blessed, don't you? I don't want things. I'm tired of things. I want to be blessed, and I want to be a blessing to other people. What is the best way that we can make this change? Well, as I thought about that, I started thinking, the best way we can do this is remember the way we treated our wife or our spouse when we first started dating. Y'all remember? Y'all remember how we treated our wife or our spouse? Not now, listen, not now. Not right now, Ricky, not now. It's not now. It's when we first started dating. Y'all remember that? Do you even remember how you treated your spouse when you first started dating? I saw a meme this past week that, I mean, I nearly blew, you know, it was funny. There's this couple, and they're sitting in a counseling session, and the woman's got her head bowed down like this, and the man's doing this right here, and he said, your wife says you don't even buy flowers anymore. And he says, I didn't know she sold flowers. Come on, y'all didn't get that? But y'all remember how it was when we first started dating our wives. When Amy and I first started dating, we did not want to spend a lot. All we wanted to do was spend all our time together. I mean, really. And when we weren't together, we were trying to figure out how we could manipulate our parents to let us to go, you know, spend more time together. We didn't want to be apart. We always wanted to be together. Now, we didn't want to be separated, and we still don't now for the most part. But you know, that's just how we've always been. There was a time, I guess, about 3 years ago, where I met one of Amy's Savannah friends, and she told me, she said, you're selfish with your wife's time. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, she every time I ask her to do something, she says, you and her are doing something. I said, well, it's not selfish. That's just the way we are. We love each other, and we want to spend all our time together. I said, don't you and your husband do the same? And I didn't have a clue. But she and her husband had just gone through a divorce, they were getting in the process of going to divorce. You see, you spend time with something and you grow together, right? You grow stronger and closer and more. You don't know how much you love a person until you start spending more time with that person, or how much you don't love that person and you spend more time with them. Not knowing, listen, something that God made me feel ashamed about is I started this message about time and spending time. And I started thinking about all of this. God made me feel ashamed of something I had in my life. Not knowing the names of the people who walk up and down this road in front of our church. Oh God, I belong to Shepherd's Oaks Baptist Church. I'm so glad. Listen, that church is a beacon. It is a lighthouse to our community. How many of y'all have said that? Thought that. But people walk up and down the roads up here. Don't even wave at them. And we certainly don't know their names. God jumped all over me about that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. About that time I heard a noise on the front porch. And there was a lady on the front porch. Where's Susan? Where's Susan Davis? There's Susan. Can I tell this story? You sure? Okay. So I walk out and y'all have seen the lady, and she talks to herself. She walks up and down the road, and a lot of us are scared of her, and I guess I was to a certain degree. And she was on the front porch charging her phone. And I walked up and I started talking to her. I said, you know, what's your name? She said, Deborah. And you know, I said, what's going on? She said, I'm just charging my phone. She said, I'm working for the FBI, the CIA, Donald Trump. I'm doing this and this, and I'm Eddie Davis's daughter. I said, really? And she said, yep. She said, they killed Eddie. I said, who killed Eddie? She said, the DOD or somebody killed Eddie. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, he died in a car wreck. And she said, no, he didn't. That was a frame up. That was a frame up. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe did Eddie really have a daughter? I know he had a son, but. So I called Desi. Desi didn't answer her phone. She was in the middle of ministry work or writing somebody a card or a letter. I know she was. And so I tried to call somebody else. And who did I call? Who did I call? Was it you, Deborah? No, I called Gary. I said, Gary, I said, did Eddie Davis have a daughter? He said, no. I said, are you sure? He said, I'm positive. I said, because this girl said she's Eddie Davis. He said, no. What are you getting at, Brother Kyle? We need to talk to people. We need to talk to people. Listen, I've told y'all, the city of Savannah is pushing people out of the city. And they're heading our way. And we say that we're a lighthouse. We need to minister to people. We need to know who their name is if we're going to minister to the people. Some of y'all know this, some of y'all don't know this, but you know our website, we've got a great website, don't we? A homeless man designed our website. Did y'all know that? His name was Don. Y'all need to pray for Don. I don't even know if Don's alive anymore. Last time we saw him, he was in bad shape. But all we have to do is just talk to people. People walk up and down in our neighborhood all the time, and we don't even know who they're not. We don't know what they're going through. Listen, they have a story. They have a name. We were leaving Sunday night a few weeks ago, and there's another young girl who's walking up down the road, and y'all, she's not typically, you know, she's scared, kind of scary looking. And Amy said, pull over. And when my wife says pull over, I pull over. So we started talking to her. She has a name. She has children. She has a story. She has some heartache, some hardships. Does that sound like anybody else in here? It's us. All of us. We're all the same. But if we say we're a lighthouse to this community that God has put here, we need to be that lighthouse. We need to get out of our comfort zones and just start talking to people. Talking to people. We can never be a witness to somebody. We can't tell them of the love of Jesus if we don't talk to them. This is what we normally do when we see people walk in anywhere, whether it be up and down the street or Walmart holding a sign. This is what we do right here. We go, Do you know that God loves them just as much as He loves you with your three cars in the driveway and your button-down collar shirt and your nice shoe? He loves them just as much as He loves you. And He's called us, as if this is truly a lighthouse, to be a witness to every person. Everybody. Well, church, do you know that there are a lot of people here that don't have a problem? They give of their time. You know, we're talking about time and being a blessing. Well, you know, giving your time is one of the easiest ways to be a blessing. But there are a lot of people who give of their time, and it's almost second nature to them. There's some who won't give their time. But there are some, church, and I want to recognize you, who do give their time. Now, I'm not going to use their names because they might get embarrassed. I might call a couple names, but we'll see, okay? Now, the one that's seen the most in the church is an 88-year-old man, soon to be 89, who comes to the church just about every single day for some kind of maintenance or other here at the church. He's 88 years old, almost 89, and he comes about every day. And some people don't want to give of their time. There's another retired man who comes and works alongside, does the same thing. Have y'all noticed that the lighting's changed up and down the hallways? And there's now, where the hallways used to be dark, when the lights are off, there's these censored night lights that come on, and it's not dark anymore anywhere. And listen, that free of charge, right? Thank you, Dan. Time. And I pray, listen, that might seem insignificant and small to you, but have y'all ever tried to change one of them light bulbs? If you want to really test to see whether you're a Christian or not, ask Mr. Taylor and ask Dan. Because I promise you, if you've got any cuss words in you, they'll come out changing them bulbs. Or try to change a ballast, right, Dan?
Righteous anger.
Yeah, righteous anger. But listen, that's not it. We have a senior adult lady who comes and works in the front flower bed every single week. And if she's not pulling weeds or planting flowers, she's watering the plants. Listen to me. Every single week. Just giving her time. Just giving her time. Just like the gentleman. Now, do you know that we have five or six senior adults who come at least once a month to fix bags of lunches for the homeless at the Baptist Center downtown? And we have two senior adult ladies who make up bags of food for children in the area to have food over the weekend every week. We do. Praise God. Amen. But not, it doesn't stop there. Do you know that we have a lady in our church who comes to the church every Wednesday morning and brings bread and cakes to the church to give families who need them? Every week. About the same time. It's usually right after I get here or right before I get here at 9 o'clock. There's a knock on the door. Right, Becky? Where's Becky? Becky's gone. Children's church, that's right. Hey, and knock on the door, and there she is. And she has two bags, generally, of bread to give to people who need a little extra food. We have youth workers, Awana workers, praise team, choir members. They all do what they do because they want the people at this church to feel a closer connection to the Lord. Listen, they give of their time. That's it. They give of their time. But there's something else, church. There's something else that we need to see. We have many other people who do things that no one ever sees. And not even myself, I don't see it. And it's all about giving of your time. Time is the one thing that we can't buy any more of. Y'all ever tried to buy time? You can't. We can't buy any more time. And it's the one thing that seems to be the thing that we're not willing to give freely. Now, what I want you to see is how important it truly is to give someone just a little bit of time. Listen, they may never remember your name, but they will always remember the one time that you gave them time. I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of people, especially at homegoings or funerals. And people will walk up to me when they find out that I was a person who passed away's pastor, and they'll say, "You don't know how much that person meant to me." And they'll say something like this: "They probably don't even know how much they meant to me, because there was a time in my life that I needed somebody, and they took a little bit of time to let me know how important I was." Do you know? I encourage all the Awana leaders, and I Bill does this, I'm sure, as well, to hug the children. To hug them. Do you know why? That might be the only hug they get in a week. To tell them they love them. Do you know why? You might be the only person who ever tells them that you love them. Ever. And you know what it costs us? About 20 seconds. 20 seconds. Time. Time. The one thing we can't buy, Jason, and the one thing we want to get rid of the least. But there's something else. If we're going to be blessing to others the way the Scripture tells us to be this morning, that we want to be, we need to be willing to give of the talents and abilities that God has given to us as well. Now, December, I'll be here 8 years, and it's been unbelievable to watch the transition of the praise and the music here at the church. It really has. Not saying that it was bad. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not. Please don't think that I am. But what's transpired and how God's brought people along and people who played instruments that nobody even knew about, I mean, they joined the church covertly thinking they were going to slide in under the radar, then all of a sudden Maggie's up here playing guitar. Right? And all of us thought it was real funny when Colin came up here and he was beating on a box for 2 or 3 years. Then he starts playing a piano, then he starts playing a guitar, then he starts playing the drums with wooden spoons. I'm just wondering what's next. Colin, what are you working on next, son? What, any other instruments you're working on? Like the oboe, violin? I mean, I'm just... But then Jeff was a member here. He was working a job that he couldn't be here many Sundays. And all of a sudden, Jeff is, you know, he quits that job, tells him, "Yeah, I ain't coming back." Wants to burn the place down, finds a new job, and he's here every Sunday. And Jeff plays guitar. I never knew it. But it's amazing how God has given people talents, and they're using them. If you want to be a blessing, you need to be willing to use the talents that God has given you. I just wonder, after 8 years, and I look and see what we are now, what is sitting in the congregation, the people who are sitting in the congregation, that have an ability, have a talent that you're not using. I just wonder. But there's something else. Church, we can be willing to give of our time and our talents. But there's one thing that we have to pray for that God will give us, and that's opportunities. We should pray that God would open the doors of opportunity, that we could be a blessing to a person who needs to be blessed. That's right. A person that needs to be blessed. Do you know that someone in this neighborhood, I guarantee you, has been praying that God, to God, that they may not even believe in, that He would bless them somehow, some way, and it could be you that God wants to use to be a blessing to those people. You look at our neighborhood. Look, open your eyes to our neighborhood. Don't walk around blind and open your eyes and look at the people in our neighborhoods. And you can't tell me that somebody doesn't need a blessing? And it might not be that God wants you to be that blessing? Church, does it baffle you that as a Christian, that others do not or will not be a blessing to others? This church is a very loving, and very giving church. But in this church, just like many other churches, there are people who will not give up of their time and their talents or of their blessings that others might be blessed. Listen to what the Apostle John said about these people in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How? Listen to what John says again. He says, but how does the love... It says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? R.C. Sproul once said, the call of love is not so much a call to a certain state or feeling, but a quality of action. Action. We can say, oh, I love people. I love people. But do you know your actions speak of the love that you really have for people? All people. Every single person. If we love others the way Jesus did, the way Jesus commanded us to love, then why are we not loving Him the way Jesus loves Him? Why? Church, simple acts of kindness blesses people more than you'll ever know. Intentional acts of kindness are so easy. I'm just about done. Listen to me. Intentional acts of kindness are so easy. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to tell you. This is an intentional act of kindness. Y'all ready? Y'all paying attention? Look up here. Look, watch this. Some of y'all don't know what that is. It looks like some of y'all went to the tattoo parlor and you have a permanent, growl on you. An intentional way to show kindness. Smile. Smile at people. Bro, Kyle, people don't smile at me. They're probably because they're looking at your face. Look at your face in the mirror. Would you smile at that? This world is getting nasty and negative and hateful and it's just hate-filled, isn't it? What can we do? An intentional act of kind of smile at people. Especially people who look at you and they look at you and they think, they make this assumption about who you are just by looking at you. And you can see it on their face. Or people that you went to school with, you used to go to church with because you ain't at that church anymore. But you see those people and they look at you and they go, do like this. When you catch eye to that, Smile. Smile at them. Warm their heart. If it doesn't do anything for them, it does something for you, right? But here's another thing. Guys, we've lost. We've lost. Oh, golly, we've lost. Girls, y'all, girls, pay attention to me. You pay attention to me, too. Watch this. Look here. If that boy don't open the door for you, you kick him to the curb. If that boy don't open the door for you, you kick him to the curb. Maggie, if that boy, you already married, you stuck. Guys, it's a simple act of kindness. I open the door. We're in a hurry. Open the door for people. It's an act of kindness. Well, maybe they aren't so bad. I mean, they look at it. I always heard that, you know, they're mean, hateful, ugly people. But he just opened the door. They might be. Yeah, it's you know how much it cost you? Nothing. This isn't on my list, but I want to encourage y'all to do this. I've told y'all, I know I've told my Wednesday night class this, and Amy started a little bit doing this. When y'all go to Walmart, y'all go to the grocery store, wherever y'all go that has carts, you don't have to do this with Audi. Ho, ho. When you get out of the car, there's lazy people who just push their buggy up on the median. And I call them out. I do. Tony, I say, man, that's so lazy. I'm going to get beat up one day. I am. But I'm going to run. They're going to be hitting me in the back. How many hands does God give you? Two. We're in agreement. Look at this, Baptist church, and we're in agreement. That means that you can carry two buggies in at the same time. Well, Brother Kyle, I'm just going in to pick up two things. I don't need a buggy. It's not for you. It's not for you. And Amy says, why are you doing this? Are you the buggy police? I'm just like, no, I'm just tired of lazy people. It's so easy. It's easy. It's so easy. And just when you think that nobody's paying attention, I walked into Food Lion not too long ago, and I had two buggies. I just, you know, pushed them in. I walked in, and one of the managers said, you do that every time you walk in the door. She said, thank you. She said, wow, I don't understand why people just roll them all over the place. Listen, we could make a buttload of money all over the city of Savannah if we had trucks and we picked up buggies and they'd give us $5 per buggy when we took them back to where they came from. They're everywhere. They're up and down Chevis Road, aren't they, Gary, in the ditch. It's crazy. But just take a buggy. It's a simple act. You know what it costs you? You walking in anyway. You're walking right past them. And listen, if you really want to help somebody, there's coming a day. I know there's coming a day where I'm going to have to be on one of them little scooters. I know. But you walk in the door, Brother Frank, they're gone. You know why? They're out in the parking lot. Get on the scooter and drive it in. Back it up to the plug and plug it in. You know what that costs you? Nothing. It's an act of kindness. And I promise you, God will bless you for that. He really will. He really will. I don't know how he will, but he'll bless you. I walk through the parking lot looking on the ground. I'm going to find some money one day. I have, y'all. I found $350 in an envelope, you know, one day in Walmart parking lot. I did. And I walked over it. And I picked up the envelope. And I was like, yeah. And I opened it and looked, $350. And I put that. I was like, yeah, see those buggies, man. See? It finally paid off. And I walked through the door, and God said, that ain't your money, son. that's not yours. That's probably a person on a fixed income, and that's all they had for the rest of the month, and it's just the 12th. You better go to the customer. So I said, but they'll steal it. He said, you just need to be smart. Tell them that you found some money, and tell the person to call. I was like, yeah, all right, yeah, okay, I did it. I got home, and my kids are always busting me out for looking at stuff and picking stuff off the ground. And I text Alex, guess what, Big Daddy?
found on the ground today. Smiley face, smiley face, smiley face. $350. And before Alex could even respond, the phone rang and it was that man for the money. But I still, God's going to bless you. It's a simple act. Simple act. There's something else. You know what you can do? You know something you can do for somebody? When you're in a restaurant and God's blessed you, God's blessed you. Amen. If you're at a restaurant, you're not having to cook and you're not having to clean. God's blessed you. Now, there's times where Amy and I, we could not go to a restaurant. We could not. I mean, the only thing we could afford was CC's Pizza, and I didn't really want to go there then. Fold up a napkin and take two or three pieces home, right? I know that's what y'all do. That's right. Carry luggage. Why are you carrying luggage into CC's Pizza? But when you're out and about, if you see somebody, y'all, it tears me. Can I tell y'all something just tears me up? Seeing senior adults sitting by themselves at Cracker Barrel. Oh, DeShonda, does that not just make you want to cry? And it's usually senior adult men, these old men. They might have deserved to be by themselves. I don't know. But senior adult men sitting there eating alone. Buy their meal. Don't tell them. If you see some service people, we live in a town where, guess what, there's all kind of army bases. If you truly appreciate their service, buy their meal. Hey, Kenny, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Amen. Be a blessing. It's easy. I said this one a few minutes ago, but I've got it. Intentional blessings. Listen to this. Give somebody a hug. Tell them you love them. Give somebody a hug. Tell them you love them. There's two or three people in this church that every time they see me, they give me a hug and they tell me they love me. Brother Kyle, that's kind of shallow. Why do you need that? Why do you need it? Why do you need it? We all need it. Here's another one. Just randomly call somebody and check on them. Is there anybody in this church that ain't got a phone? Some of y'all been playing with the phone during the message. Anybody? Call people and check on them. Just tell them you love them. Really? I had a relative shortly after my uncle died. I called and I just said, you know, Aunt so-and-so, I just calling to check on you. And I heard her in the background said, he ain't ever called me before. And before I could even say, I said, well, how many times have you called me? It's not that hard. We all have phones. Most of us are on them all the time. Call somebody and check on them. Let them know you love them. The only way they're going to know that you care about them is if you call them, right? Here's another one. I'm going to get some pushback from this. Cut your neighbor's yard sometime and don't tell them. Now listen, don't get crazy and scalp it and, you know, cut the trees down that are blocking your view. Don't do that. You'll go to jail, all right? But if you know somebody in your neighborhood's going through something, cut the grass for them. At least the front yard. I wouldn't go in the backyard. There might be a dog or there might be something back there. If you're in the backyard behind the fence and the cops come, you're going to be in trouble. But cut the front yard. Cut the front yard. Do you know how I know all of these little things that I just said can be very impactful and make a huge difference? Listen, because the things I just listed are things that people have done for me, and I know how they've blessed me. All of them. I know how they've blessed me. Church, I want you to go home and make a list of how people have blessed you in ways that's made an impact in your life. Go home and make a list of how people have blessed you somehow, some way. Little, big, but make a list of how people have blessed you. And then start there. Start right there. Start being a blessing that God created you to be by doing the same thing for other people. It's that easy. Just make a list of how God has blessed you through other people and start blessing people the same way. It's that easy. Brother Kyle, what? It's kind of unusual message. I mean, right here. Well, there's a reason for it. Do you really want to give more than you receive, the way Scripture says? And you see now how, this morning, how easy it is to be a blessing. Tonight you have an opportunity to be a blessing to every person in this community. Every year that we've had Trunk or Treat, the very first year, y'all remember the first year we had Trunk or Treat? There were cars parked all the way in the circle, all the way around, and we had in the middle, we had cars back to back in the middle, all the way through the middle. It's never happened since. We've never had that many participate. Come tonight. Brother Kyle, I don't know what to decorate my car. The past couple of years, I just backed my truck up in there and threw a pumpkin on the tailgate. I got a good one tonight, y'all. It's easy. It's what I'm going to have for the rest of my life. But you want to be a blessing. You want to be a blessing. It's that easy. Just come throw candy. Just give candy. You can throw it at the kids if you want to. Jonathan's comes around two or three times in my truck. The third time, I throw it on the ground. I said, I'm not working for this. You pick it up. It's that easy to be a blessing. My question to you is, do you even want to be a blessing the way God tells us to be? He tells us to give more than we receive. Give more than we receive. I know how that equation looks at my house. How does it look at yours? Are you giving more than you're receiving? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and we thank you for your message. Help us, Lord, to be receptive to who you want us to be. Help us truly desire to be a blessing, God. And then help us, equip us to be a blessing, Lord. Give us opportunities like the one we have tonight, every single day, to be a blessing for you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you need to come and spend some time at the altar. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, come and let me show you what Scripture says every person must do to be born again. Will you come?